And how incredible is our God, and what a plan in which He had for all of His saints gathered together. And, excuse me a second. There we go. All of His saints gathered together. And, you know, how are we going to praise Him? How are we going to, as loud as we can, how are we going to praise Him and do it without chaos, do it without confusion, do it without commotion? How could that be accomplished? How could our greatest shouts to God be accomplished? Simple answer. Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19. Sing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then we have, I don't even want to bring it up because it's negative, but I will anyway. We have man, he comes in and he puts his mud boots on and he starts treading around. And, you know, what shall we make the song service? What shall we make it about? You know, well, let's have a few people to listen to up here. You know, let's have a choir. Let's have a band of a few. Let's introduce some instrumental musics and things like that. And let's make the melody come from a guitar string instead of the heart strings. We're not seeing it. It's what we talked about this morning, right? Seeing it. Reading the scriptures and seeing God, seeing His plan. We're missing the mark when we venture off like that and we try to do it better. And what we've totally missed out on is what the purpose of it all is. How incredible is this opportunity to sing songs together. The entire congregation, the whole assembly of saints, being able to do, on a smaller scale, mind you, but being able to do kind of the things that you see over there in the book of Revelation, where you have all these, this great multitude in heaven, and their voice is like many rushing waters and the sound of many peals of thunder. But you see that they are in unison and they are together, and it's not commotion. You know, we think of thunder, we think of commotion, but no, together they shout and they sing, and they sing things like, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And, this is what we have an opportunity to do together here today, and it's just like nothing else on earth. That is the intent of the text, where we can raise our voices together as spiritual people, and we can praise God unified without chaos and commotion. How else could we do it? Let's all just start shouting. No, let's not do that. But, you know, let's all just start shouting out something to praise God. I wouldn't even be able to hear. I wouldn't be able to understand what you're saying. You know, it would be like at a basketball game or something. You know, all this noise. Everyone's saying something different. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5. By way of invitation, I'm going to do something a little bit sneaky. And finish my lesson from this morning. but if it's so I think it'll be okay. I probably won't get in too much trouble. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And what is he dealing with here? Well, as he is up there and he's preaching what some would certainly view as some new ideas, some new thoughts and concepts. And, you know, what is this? What is all this new stuff that he's talking about here on this Sermon of the Mount? What Jesus stops here in verse 17 and says is essentially this: I'm not saying anything new. I am saying everything that the law has said for years and years and years. I'm not destroying the law. I didn't come to destroy the law. And what I'm talking about is not something new in which I'm destroying and putting away the law of Moses, which was in effect. You know, it must be followed. It was in effect in those days before his death on the cross. And so he's saying, I'm not destroying it. I've come to fulfill it. Now, we often think of Jesus as fulfilling the prophecies, right? Yeah, I mean, direct prophecies talking about Christ, his coming, what he'd accomplish. But we don't often think, maybe, about how he fulfills the law. You know, because without him fulfilling the law, we don't have a sacrifice. If he can't fulfill the law, then he's sin. And we don't have a sacrifice for our sins. He must fulfill the law. And what he is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount is the embodiment, the true. I mean, he fills in all the gaps and he showed to all the Jews something that they may never had seen before. Certainly not from their current teachers, the Pharisees. He showed them God. He showed them that the law is God's self-revelation. I mean, it is who he is. And when Jesus came onto the earth and he was doing the law, what was he doing? Did he have a checklist? You know, he's going down checking each and every law as he went by. Or was he living it? Did he fully embody it? And we see plenty of examples of this in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the next, or one of the next things he says in verse 22, he says, verse 21, he says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Whoa, hold on now. This is new thing. No, it's not nothing new. He says, you've heard it. You've heard it. You've heard it from your teachers. What do they say? They say, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. Jesus says, look at what this is all about. You know, look at what the law is all about. I've come to fulfill the law, and he showed us how to fulfill the law. He showed us how to fulfill the new law, even. Because whether you look at the old law or whether you look at the new law, it's the Word of God, and God is the same. And so whether you see scriptures that deal with murder or something like that, what Jesus shows how to fulfill it. He shows how this is applicable. When he says in verse 22, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. There's plenty of other examples through this. If you go home and read through Matthew chapter 5, you'll see plenty of examples. Notice another one down the line, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And you see, again, he says, this is, you know, the law, you know, an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. But how do you live by this? Well, if someone slaps you on the cheek, give them the other cheek as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Jesus is showing what the law was all about. And Jesus was showing that these instructions, these commands, sometimes they look like they're one after the other, just a list of laws. But they're God. They're who He is. They're the Word. And Christ was the Word. And we saw Him. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In verse 43, He says, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" Hold on a second here. What's that about? I never saw that in the law. I mean, I've seen in the law where it says you shall love your neighbor, but Jesus has added something. Well, no, Jesus didn't add it. What does He mean when He says, "You've heard that it's been said"? He keeps saying that. What does He mean by that? He's talking about what their teachers are saying. What are the Pharisees in the first century? What kind of things are they teaching? See, they were teaching one thing, and He was showing the law, the fulfillment of it all. And so He says, "You've heard, you shall love your neighbor." Now that's accurate, but they add this, "and hate your enemy." See what they've done? They've said, see, your enemy isn't your neighbor. Okay? Love your neighbor, but your enemy's not your neighbor, so you can hate your neighbor. That's like one of the Pharisees came to Jesus testing Him on another occasion. What do they say? He said, "Who is my neighbor?" See, He was trying to trick him up. So, notice here, Jesus says in verse 44, "But I say to you," you know, He's the Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is law. And so when He says, "I say to you," this He is showing how to live by the law of Moses as well as the law of Christ. As I said, they both reveal who God is, and we follow God. And so He says here, "I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Notice why He says in verse 45, "that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." All right, so you may be like the Father, like God. The Pharisees, they were not teaching truth. The Pharisees didn't see it. Now, I have no doubt that the Pharisees read their Bibles every day, but they were not seeing it. When we open up our Bibles, when we read day after day, and we must read day after day, we've got to keep our sight set on Christ, on Jesus. And here He is. He's right here in these pages. Okay? We're not to look at this like a checklist mentality. Sure, we will check everything off the list, so to speak. We'll be able to do it. We'll be able to overcome and fulfill everything in the law, but not by sitting here and making it into a checklist. But by opening our eyes to see who God is in the text. See who God is, who He is, what He wants, what He desires. Learn everything about Him. Investigate it all. When we have our eyes open to God, and then we know exactly what we must do on this earth. We know exactly what we must be. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us here in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "You've heard this, but let me show you God. Let me show you how to fulfill it to the fullest and be like your Father in heaven." That's how we need to read our Bibles. Closing song, "Hark the Gentle Voice of Jesus."